Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 28, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. And what follows, Psalter 28, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 18, beginning with verse 33 through the seventh verse of John 19. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 18, beginning with verse 33 through verse 7 of chapter 19. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Jamie Clock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby daughter, and Simon and Jean van Wieringen, who hope to commemorate their 58th wedding anniversary on the day of tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, and word is written in thy holy word, in him we live, we move, and have our being. Then in thy great faithfulness, and in thy patient long suffering, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children by renewal another Lord's Day. Ah, Lord, may we be humbled thereunder. Where also in the week gone by, we have been carried upon the wings of mercy. Then we have been the recipients of so many blessings from above. Then thou wast yet crowned this earth with thy goodness, and notwithstanding all the unthankfulness, and notwithstanding the manifold and great sins, then thou wast granted in this morning hour that a portion of the congregation may come up to thy house. Another portion is in their dwellings. May that be our burden, our sin, and our guilt. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy special blessing in this morning hour. Wilt thou bless the singing? May it touch our hearts. Then we have heard the holy law of God read by renewal, the Ten Commandments. And may we have felt our guilt, and that secret petitions have risen unto thee, the living God, that there may be a little bewilderment and astonishment for such transgressors, even transgressors from the womb, that we may still have a place upon the earth, that the earth still beareth us, and that the heaven still covers us, and that the need may be born. Lord, our debt is so great that we can never repay. May there be souls in our midst in this passion season that may be troubled and exercised with their debt, and that by the first time, but also in the way of the further leadings. Wilt thou bless the portion out of thy holy word which we have read and heard, where we have heard of thy suffering Son, that he was willing to humble himself so low, even unto death, that a guilty people may be saved. Lord, wilt thou grant in the way of prayer a few simple words to speak unto thee? They are words that need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Then we need the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and also of thanksgiving. Do bless the proclamation of thy word, Lord, who was able to declare the depth and the riches of the wonderful works of the Lord, also the deep suffering of thy Son, that he has loved himself to death, that a people may be set free, Lord. Wilt thou then work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, where already we have come to the last Passion, Lord's Day. Lord, when that need has not yet been felt and experienced, wilt thou then send a letter of guilt to such hearts that it may become reality, that they may learn to cry unto thee, the living God, for mercy. Lord, wilt thou work that godly sorrow, that worketh that true repentance, a striving and a following heart after thee. We desire to never sin no more, and then to experience with all our efforts that we are a sinner still, and that our debt is only becoming greater, that eternity is drawn nigh. Thou as a people that experience that they cannot meet their Maker as they are born. Lord, where thou hast begun, souls, may there be many amongst us. May that number greatly be multiplied, souls walking with the burden of their sin upon their back, where that burden is only becoming heavier. May it please thee then in this morning that the light may shine in the darkness. O light upon the suffering of thy dear Son, that in that way a way has been made, that sinners may be saved, that their sins may be pardoned, and that they may be reconciled with thee, Lord. Wilt thou grant those further leadings in the life of thy children? Oh, that in this season, that more light may shine upon the state of humiliation of thy dear Son, that they may be given to see and experience matters of what they have not experienced before, and also the need for the application of the finished work of thy dear Son. May thy children then be administered out of thy fullness and receive grace for grace, Lord. Wilt thou richly bless thy holy word over the length and the breadth of the earth, that in this day, that the kingdom of Satan may be disturbed, that it may be broken down, that it may be diminished, and the glorious kingdom of King Jesus, that it may be expanded, that it may be multiplied, that it may be confirmed. Lord, then it has pleased thee in the past week to bless a father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little child. Then thou wast filled them with gladness. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart, given to be wondered that thou wast spared life and that thou wast granted life, and may the prayers be multiplied, that this little daughter may be born, to be born again, that she may be a little one, for thy honor and for thy glory. We live in a solemn and a serious time. Thou art speaking in a special way over the length and the breadth of the earth. But, Lord, it is written in thy holy word that thou reignest and that thou art still gathering a church. Wilt thou remember the grandparents? We remember all the unborn and the barren ones amongst us. Lord, remember all the special needs. We remember all the mourning ones, the elderly ones in the care home, and those that may dwell in their own homes. Wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted, those that are under the physician's care in a special way, taking treatments, Lord. May their eyes be upon thee. May the means be blessed. May the callings be sanctified. We may acknowledge thee that on this day, that there is not one in the hospital. We all have frail and feeble bodies. Then we remember the handicapped ones, the difficulties with the body and of the mind. Wilt thou grant them courage, and wilt thou remember all the loved ones. Lord, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And now in this morning hour, may our eyes truly be upon thee. Oh, do open thy precious testimony. May it please thee to grant that with freedom and joy we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, help the little boys and the little girls to understand, but, Lord, what the little children need, that we all need. There can be the wandering thoughts, the worldly thoughts, the cares of this world, the tiredness of the body, wilt thou grant a little rest on this Sabbath day. May we be given to hear the voice of the living God, and may it enter into our hearts. Ah, Lord, we have to confess that we have no rights, we have no merit. Ah, when there are those that still have merit, may it be taken away in this day. Ah, may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy. Ah, thou hast declared that there will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Wilt thou then remember us poor sinners and look down upon us in the sun of thine eternal love, in whom thou art well pleased, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 184, the stanzas 6, 7, 8, and 9. It is for thee I am reproached, for thee I suffer shame, until my brethren knew me not, and hated is my name. And what follows, Psalter 184, the stanzas 6 through 9. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 19, the verses 1 through 5. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, a king of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Our text words speak of Jesus's profound humiliation in the judgment hall. With four thoughts, in the first place, as scourged Jesus. In the second place, an arrayed Jesus. In the third place, a vindicated Jesus. And in the fourth place, a presented Jesus. Jesus' profound humiliation in the judgment hall. As scourged Jesus, as we read in verse 1. An arrayed Jesus in the verses 2 and 3. A vindicated Jesus in verse 4. And a presented Jesus in verse 5. Thus first, a scourged Jesus. A beloved congregation, it was in the early hours of Good Friday when the Sanhedrin is met once more, where it seemed that during the night watches, when Jesus was questioned in the hall of Caiaphas by the high priest, that they were not all present, and that in the early morning hour that the Sanhedrin has condemned Jesus to death. Then it was also being fulfilled in these days what Father Jacob has prophesied on his deathbed in Genesis 49, concerning that departing scepter, where they tell us that in these days, then the Romans have made the stipulation that the Jews may not put anyone to death without the authority of the Romans. To that end, in the early morning hour, then they have hastened with Jesus to the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate, hoping that he would quickly sentence him to death and that Jesus may die before all the Passover celebrants would arise, where great multitudes have come to the city of Jerusalem. And then we read that the rulers of the Jewish people, they have brought three accusations against Jesus. In the first place, that he perverteth the nation. that he would cause rebellion among the Jewish people against the Romans. In the second place, that he refused to give tribute to Caesar. And in the third place, that he said that he was Christ, the King of the Jews. To that end, Pontius Pilate has taken him into the judgment hall and asked him concerning his kingship. And then Jesus has declared that his kingdom was not an earthly kingdom, but that it was a spiritual kingdom. Oh, it is true. When the Lord worketh mightily by his Spirit, then that spiritual kingdom that becomes very evident here upon the earth, because the work of the Lord cannot be hid. And then upon his Pilate has returned and declared that he found no fault in Jesus. But then they have declared that he caused rebellion beginning in Galilee. To that end, upon his Pilate hopes he may be relieved of his difficulty, and to that end has sent him to Herod. But he has returned, and then Herod has also said that he found no fault in Jesus. And to that end, by renewal, upon his Pilate was given to declare that he found no guilt in Jesus. For upon his Pilate, oh, what a warfare, what a struggle he had inwardly. He was convinced that they have delivered Jesus on account of envy, and yet he feared the Jewish people, and therefore still trying to please. Oh, what a difficult life it was for Pontius Pilate, maybe amongst us, that are having that strife, oh, a conscience that still declares what is sin, what is right and wrong. But then the world draws so mightily, could speak of addictions. You may multiply it out. Oh, then the necessity that you may fall on your knees and ask the Lord to remember and to help you. And then it was the custom, we have heard it out of John 18, that on the Passover feast, that one would be released. And then upon his Pilate has placed that holy and innocent Jesus over against Barabbas, who was a thief and who was a robber. And then in the meantime, oh, the message from his wife, have nothing to do with this just man, because I have suffered many things because of him in a dream. And then the rulers, they have convinced the people. Oh, then they have cried out that Barabbas must go free. What must I do with Jesus? Let him be crucified. And so we come to our text. Then Pilate, therefore, that word therefore, that refers to everything that has taken place before. Oh, undoubtedly Pilate thought, if he may be scourged and I may present him as a suffering man, then perhaps the Jewish people, they shall be filled with compassion and I may be enabled to set him free. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourge them. That does not mean congregation, that Pilate personally has scourged the Lord Jesus Christ, but under his direction, under his command. And then those soldiers, oh, they tell us that scourging was such a terrible thing. I read in Deuteronomy 25, that concerning the stripes concerning the Jewish people, then 40 was the maximum, but so it was not among the Romans. Oh, then we read in Acts 22 that it is implied that scourging was not given to the Romans. It was given to malefactors. It was given to slaves. And then they tell us that scourging that was so terrible, it was so painful, a wooden handle with leather strips, and on the end of those leather strips, then there were pieces of charbon or of steel, and so such a one was stripped of his clothes, and then he was beaten unmercifully. Oh, they even tell us that many times under that scourging, then such a one even succumbed, then such a one even died, and that has now taken place with that holy and blessed Jesus. Oh, let us remember it was a night where he has not slept. Oh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that his sweat even became as great drops of blood. And then when we consider the bodily suffering, oh, that was great. But then he has declared in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. O congregation, see then the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was scourged, when he was whipped, when he was whipped, when he was beaten. Oh, the psalmist of Psalm 129, verse 3, has declared, the plowers plowed upon my back, they have made long my furrows. Oh, then many times the flesh was ripped off the body, then the bones, even organs were seen, because I read in Psalm 22, verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Oh, then the Lord Jesus Christ, then he was given to suffer under Jew and Gentile. And then the question should be, oh, boys and girls, then you can tell me, why has now that holy Jesus, who has committed no sins, why has he suffered so greatly? Oh, that is written by the prophet of old in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Ah, then we are given to see in our text the love of Jesus, that he was willing to be scourged, that he was willing to be beaten. Oh, it was because he has taken the sins of his people upon him. Oh, what a precious message that it is for a guilty people. Oh, is there a people, oh, that have experienced, because young and old, we also need to be derobed, that the clothing of our worldliness and the clothing of our self-righteousness, that it may be removed, and that we understand what it is to be beaten by Moses, where we have transgressed all his commandments. Oh, as a guilty sinner, oh, are there such sinners in my midst that in this passion season, oh, that are trying so hard to settle that debt, oh, in the workhouse, by day and by night, oh, those tears that are shed, because young and old, when the Spirit works and he shows the exceeding, oh, see then Jesus in the judgment hall, when he is scourged, does it not tell us the bitterness of sin. Oh, it tells us that the Lord in his justice, that he can never overlook sin, that sin must be punished by us or by another. Oh, see then the scourge, Jesus, that he was willing to be beaten, and that is that a church, that they may be set free. We read in Psalm 19, verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Oh, then Jesus was willing to take the sins, the foolishness of his people, and the Lord has a people that learn that they are so foolish. Ah, then he was willing to be their substitute. Our second thought, and arrayed Jesus. And then we read, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Natural scientists tell us that in the land of Israel, there are many thorns to be found, large and sharp thorns. And now those soldiers, they have quickly plaited, weaved a crown of thorns together, and they have placed it upon his head, because Jesus has said that he was the King of the Jews. Ah, then even these Romans, if we had asked those soldiers, what has Jesus now done wrong that you were scourging and that you were plaiting that crown of thorns? We read in one of the Gospels that it was the whole band, and that band has arrested Jesus, and they have seen his wonders, all fallen backwards, whether it were all the same soldiers, and not all written in the Bible. They have seen that Jesus has healed the ear of Malchus. The soldiers, Roman soldiers, what has Jesus now done wrong? Why, in such a bitter enmity and such a bitter mockery, are you doing what you are doing in that judgment hall? Then the answer is, congregation, hope to hear it in this evening, our deep fallen Adam, that by nature we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. Then we also see the bitter enmity of these Roman soldiers. They have plaited a crown of thorns. Where do thorns come from, boys and girls? Then we read in Genesis 3, verse 18, because of our deep fallen Adam, then we read of thistles and thorns. Thus, it points to the curse. It points to the consequence of sin. Oh, we read in Galatians 3, verse 13, that Christ has taken the curse upon him. Oh, concerning our deep fall, Lamentations 5, verse 16, the crown has fallen from our head. Oh, woe unto us that we have sinned, that Christ, because the Romans, they have plaited that crown of thorns in a way of mockery. Oh, it was not a crown of gold, but it was a crown of thorns, which they have placed upon the blessed head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, we read in the Gospels that they have smitten that crown, that the blood has freely flowed. Oh, young and old, the suffering Savior, also in the judgment hall called Praetorium, then what a proclamation of the justice of God, but also of the love of God, that a way is declared that sinners may be saved. Ah, for the church, a crowned mediator, a plaiting the crown of thorns. Oh, have you ever learned at congregation, or are you still busy? Still plaiting that crown with our sins, with our rebellion, with our transgressions. Ah, it is so profitable, so necessary, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we look not down upon those Roman soldiers. Ah, that we learn that it is me, that my sins, by my sins, and they are so great and so manifold, that I have plaited that crown of thorns. Oh, the love of Christ, that he was willing to suffer for sinners. Ah, concerning that crown, I read of Godfrey with the cruise of Bullion concerning the Crusades, when he has become ruler over Jerusalem, that they desire to put a crown of gold upon his head, but that he has said, no, that cannot be. Shall I wear a crown of gold when the Savior was crowned with a crown of thorns? Oh, we have read of a John Huss that before he was martyred, that they have put a hat upon him with three devils, and it was written that he was a heretic, but then he was given to speak of a Savior, oh, who was willing for his church. Oh, what John Huss has experienced by the work of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has also suffered for him. Ah, then he was willing to suffer. Then he was given to consider, oh, that a suffering, it was nothing compared to the suffering of the Savior, oh Christ. He was willing to wear that crown of thorns, and in that way, he has merited a crown of gold for his people. Ah, Paul has declared at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4, the verses 7 and 8, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. First, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Hence, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me at his appearing, and not only for me also, but for all those that love his appearing. Oh, then John on the island Patmos, then he has seen the church with those crowns of gold. But now even more, then further, and they put on him a purple robe. He has said he was the king of the Jews. And then after the scourging, they have put on him a purple robe. Not in the way of honor, but in the way of mockery, to ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ. Then further, we have mentioned that reed. A king needs a scepter, a golden scepter. Think of King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. But then in the way of mockery, they have gave Jesus a reed in his hand. What a deep humiliation. Then it is clear that those Romans, that they were not so fearful of Jesus, the King of the Jews, did not believe he was the Son of God. A reed. And then they have taken that reed and they have smitten the crown of thorns, buffeted in his face. We even read in one of the Gospels that they have spit upon him. What a terrible people, boys and girls, those Romans were, that they even dared to do what they have done, to dare to even put a reed in his hand while he was the Son of God. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, everyone has fallen backwards, where Jesus has shown a little of his power. How is it with us, congregation? Let us place ourselves beside those Roman soldiers, or are we still miles above them, that we think good church people know that does not apply to us? Or have there been a few souls that have come under those Roman soldiers that we have learned, oh Lord, we are so privileged and so blessed above those Roman soldiers. Those Roman soldiers, they had not the truth. Possible that they have heard a sermon, that they were present. We do not know. But definitely not as privileged as we are. So many sermons, we have the Bible, many callings, many blessings. That is where we need to come, congregation. That we do not say the Roman soldiers have done it, but I have done it. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, when that takes place, then we become a weeper and a mourner. Because by the work of the Holy Spirit, oh, in the heart of those Roman soldiers, then it is clear there was not love. They have done it in the way of ridicule, and that he may be humbled. Oh, then those Roman soldiers for a moment, because we all like to be kings, that already becomes evident in little children, that we like to have boss over someone, at least even maybe a little brother, a little sister. And now those Roman soldiers placed under a centurion, but now at the moment they could be kings. And to that end they have tried their best to ridicule and to make small a King Jesus. They have taken the reed and they have smitten him. Have we learned that we have done the same? Then we could speak of our baptized forehead, his name on our forehead. When we rebel, when we disobey, when we become bold in sin, we could speak of many matters. Of course, the difference, may we be kept from that open rebellion and disobedience. Lord is not an idle onlooker, but now by the deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit, oh, then it can be in so many ways. Ah, concerning that reed, oh, we could also speak when we do not have an impression that the Lord is so holy and so just, and that he must punish each sin. And when we commit sin so easily and so loosely, notwithstanding a speaking conscience, do we then not do the same as those Romans, that we place a weak reed in the hand of the king, thinking that he will and cannot punish us? Oh, we could speak of our prayers. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination before the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Congregation, we may ponder over these things. What is our life? Then we have no reasons to stand above the Romans, all our religious duties. And I repeat it, there's a blessing when we may still have a tender conscience, when we do not break out into sin, that we resemble those Romans in a special way, but now necessary to learn by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, when we think of the sin of unbelief, then do we not resemble those Romans? Thus, unarray Jesus. Our third thought, a vindicated Jesus, let us first sing. Psalter 105, the first four stanzas. I constant care will take, unless sinful words they hear. My lips their silence shall not break, while wicked men are near. And what follows? 105, the first four stanzas. Jesus' profound humiliation in the judgment hall. As Scourge Jesus, and Array Jesus, and now thirdly, a Vindicated Jesus. And then we read in verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you. Went forth again. Then Jesus, by renewal, then he was presented to the great multitude, the rulers, the Sanhedrin, and the Jewish people that were waiting. Then Jesus was brought forth again. That may also take place this morning, congregation, in the preaching of the word, that Jesus may be brought forth again. What a privilege and what a blessing shall also be the last time in our life that there shall be that again. Then already, so often Jesus has been preached unto us. Then by renewal, we may have another passion season that is quickly coming to an end. Then he brought forth Jesus again. Oh, may it please the Lord by grace, by his spirit, that there may be a people, that it may be an again, but that it may be so special that they may be given to behold matters which they have never beheld before, that more light may fall upon the suffering Savior. And then what a blessed message that Pontius Pilate may proclaim. Ah, what a message for seeking souls, that Pontius Pilate again, that he was given to declare when he has brought Jesus forth, that ye may know. Ah, may that be applied to many a soul, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Because if one fault had been found, the original sin had been found in the Lord Jesus Christ, also clearly explained in Luke 1 verse 35 to the Virgin Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. Then Christ has also said to the Jewish people in John 8, verse 46, Who convinceth me of sin? Ah, they have sought for witnesses, false witnesses, but they have found no fault. And now Pontius Pilate, when he has brought him forth, oh, seeking souls, Church of God, see then the Savior with a crown of thorns, the purple robe, with a reed, with the streams of blood pouring out of his body, and then that proclamation, I find no fault in him. That is now the mystery and the wonder of salvation that tells unto us, congregation, the holy purpose of the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Find no fault in him. Why has he then suffered so deeply? Why was he humiliated so profoundly in the judgment hall? Oh, we read on the day of Pentecost that the apostles have said, according to the foreknowledge and counsel of God. He has suffered. Oh, under the hands of man has suffered under the justice of God, because he was willing to take all the sins of all those poor and needy people upon him. And to that end, he was scourged, he was beaten, the crown of thorns, the royal robe, the purple robe, and the way of mockery. Oh, Church of God, what a precious proclamation. Oh, then in this morning, when he brought him forth, it may be declared, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. May be declared that he has suffered for his church, such a willing and such a loving Savior. Oh, and that suffering Savior, there it is declared, a free, a salvation for his people. And therefore, when there are souls that are still trying to work out your own salvation, oh, may in this season, by an eye of faith, that you may be given to see him who was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. Then when he was brought forth, he was the substitute, our forethought, apprehended Jesus. And then we read, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crowns of thorns and the purple robe. Congregation, then in this morning, oh, it is true, who was able to proclaim, declare what all lies included in the suffering of Christ, the depth thereof, but also the willingness of Christ and the love of Christ for his people. But then he came forth. He may come forth in this morning hour in the preaching of the gospel. And now the question, congregation, is, what shall you now do with that suffering Jesus, arrayed and crowned, suffering streams of blood? What shall you now do with that Jesus? Or is it still, oh, upon his Pilate has said to the Jews, what must they do with Jesus? Is there room for the work of Jesus in your life? Have you become a poor sinner? Have you learned to weep? Have you tried to satisfy? Have you learned how guilty you are, and that with everything that you have done, that you are a sinner still, and concerning your debt only becoming greater? Oh, then in this morning, then he may come forth as that precious Savior. Ah, then he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And then Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. We find those same words in Genesis 3, verse 22, concerning Adam and Eve. After they have taken of that forbidden fruit, broken the covenant, arrayed before justice, and would be driven out of paradise, ah, the Lord has said, behold the man, the jewel of creation, plunged himself into the greatest misery. Behold the man. but now upon his Pilate, when he has brought forth Jesus out of the judgment hall, then he was given to say the same words, "Behold the man." He was brought forth to the Jewish people, the midst of the Roman soldiers. "Behold the man." Ah, then surely, then for upon his Pilate, hoping that the Jewish people would be aroused to pity, and that they would say it was enough, that he may go free. "Behold the man." Can be that we are filled when we hear of the profound humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it still touches our heart. Or I read solemn words in Ephesians 4 verse 19 of a people that are past feeling. Do you have to say in this morning that even, and pity is not enough, we know that. In Luke 23 verse 28, Christ has said to those weeping daughters, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Thus those tears of pity are not enough, but those solemn words pass feeling. When Christ may be proclaimed in the way of his deep suffering, oh, Christ could say what the prophet Jeremiah has declared in Lamentations 1 verse 12. "Is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold, and see if there be a sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me where the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Oh, does it still touch our heart? Does it cause us to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Does it give that we may see the justice of God? Oh, young and old, do we not think of these things, that we cannot appear before the Lord with all our sins, that we need a Savior for our soul, and a surety for our guilt, and a path to heaven? Behold the man. Oh, the Romans, this clear, proved it by their actions, how hard-hearted they were. Ah, concerning the Sanhedrin, they were filled with devilish enmity and revenge, because a Christ has declared unto them their sins. Ah, the disciples, there was so much that they could not understand, had hoped that he would call himself to be king. Still too much of an earthly kingdom was in their minds. Ah, the disciples, behold the man, how guilty they must have felt. They have fled. Peter has denied with an oath, "Behold the man." Why was there so much misunderstanding? Why have they beheld him so wrongly? Oh, why did that multitude not all fall on their knees, given to confess their sins, ask for forgiveness, ask whether there was yet forgiveness? Oh, in the first place, because they had no light. Second place, not to exercise a faith And the third place, not the burden of their sin. Oh, what precious words. Behold the man who were the suffering Savior was presented unto them in his profound humiliation. Behold the man, young and old, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones. What does it mean unto you? Behold the man. Oh, when we are unconverted, may we be kept from the hardness of the heart, and that in the way of disobedience and open rebellion, that we take the reed and smite the Lord, that we spit upon him, the Lord. He will not be mocked. Jerusalem would be destroyed in the year A.D. 70. Are their souls burdened with their sin? Oh, who in this season, who have fervently cried, who are learning more, dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Oh, who have learned, if we think of Paul in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying. Ah, that is, behold the man, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Ah, to stand beside those Roman soldiers, even more, to place ourselves underneath, when we have received so many blessings, to learn those soldiers before we may believe that the Lord has begun, but also afterwards. Oh, behold the man, behold the Savior that can save to the uttermost. Behold his love, behold his willingness, cannot be fathomed, cannot be understood. Oh, see him then in astonishment, with a holy reverence, with a love, with a need, but to be given to embrace by faith. Behold the man. Oh, it is declared such a rich and a free salvation, no sinner too black and no sinner too vile. Oh, Christ has come to save sinners. Are there sinners in my midst? Then behold the man, the suffering surety, where he was willing to receive the stripes that the church has deserved 1,000 times over. Oh, behold the man. We have heard it. He was brought forth again. This shall be a last time in our life that precious Savior, that he shall be declared as the Savior for sinners. Behold the man. We shall all see him in the day of days when he shall appear upon the great white throne. No, then not with a crown of thorns, then not with a mock robe, not with a robe, but a reed. In Revelations 19, verse 16, arrayed with a vesture, and upon his robe is written that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then he shall judge the quick and the dead, and the judge of all the earth. I shall do right, then the tares, and then the thorns, then they shall be cast into everlasting fire, but young and old. Behold the man that is merited such a free and such a rich salvation, and in the state of his exaltation, that he applies the same. Behold the man. Then Christ in this morning, then he declares, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to declare the riches and the love of the suffering Savior, and wherein this morning, where again he may be presented and declared, behold the man, O Lord. Wilt thou work lovingly, irresistibly, by thy Spirit, and where there is no need, where he has never become suitable, Lord, wilt thou work that need in this day, that there may be souls who may become those Roman soldiers, and that Jewish people that have cried out, crucify him. Lord, wilt thou remember thy children each time by renewal. They need new light. They need more light. What can come so low that they also have to tell thee, Lord, it can seem that I am past feeling, but, Lord, thou shalt never forsake the work of thine own hands, and it is the work of thy Holy Spirit by the first time and by renewal, that mediator may become more necessary and more precious. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of this day. Grant traveling mercies, bring us under the means of grace in this afternoon hour once more. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 407, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Oh, praise ye the Lord, and sing a new song. Amid all the saints, his praises prolong, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be Good Friday services this coming Friday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. The extra collection on Good Friday is for the Synodical Education Committee. Psalter 407, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.